praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you.
Father, my prayer this morning is for those that are grieving, those that are hurting, those that are sick. Lord, may they feel your presence. May they know they're loved. May you bring peace to those families that only you can bring. And Father, as we study your word this morning, may we be so focused on hearing your voice. May you speak to each and every one of us individually. May there be repentance, transformation. Father, may your will be done now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We had a family thing yesterday and up in Springdale. And Mitzi's brother's been a pastor up there for 40, 50 years or something. So they had all the family up and had a dinner and stuff. And then he got out his guitar and began to sing. And got the sisters up to sing and sang a bunch of gospel songs. But do y'all know what our song leader sang yesterday? You ain't woman enough to take my man. You guys know that song? I asked her if that was going to be in the song selection this morning, but it was what she talked about when she was a little girl and her dad had her sing that, you know, had her stand up on a box or something and sing that. And so I asked her if it was part of the song selection for this morning and she didn't sing it. I don't know what happened. So, okay, let's get on with the sermon now. Proverbs 18:21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's so much in that little statement there. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Have you ever really thought about the words you speak and what you say? And I'm just as guilty as everybody else of talking like of speaking things. Well, I did it right before church about getting old and hurting and aching and my back aching. And you know, when you complain, when you gripe, when you're focused on stuff, it almost takes on a life. And we need to be so careful with the words that we speak. Now, if someone says, how are you? You don't want to lie. You know? And it's a good thing to tell your church family things so they can be praying for you. Y'all pray for me. My back has been just causing me all kinds of fits lately. And I appreciate any prayers you have. But that's where it needs to end. I don't need to go on and on and on about it, okay? And there's things in our lives sometimes that they almost take on a life of their own because we give power to them with our tongues, with what we're speaking. In James 3, and I hope this all makes sense. I'm going to go through this pretty quick, okay? James 3:3-12. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, they can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and curses. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the spring? From the same spring. My brother, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I got one more verse to read and then I'm going to tell y'all something, okay? Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. this that I just read to y'all, along with a little more, was the very first sermon I preached here 15 years ago, Friday. 15 years I've been up here. I had to go back and look to make sure, and I double-checked my math, Bridget. It was March 18th, 2007. And I preached this sermon because there was so much going on in this church at that time. It was divided. People had left. The pastor had left. And I wanted people to understand, watch what words you're saying. Watch what you're speaking. And I think it's pretty funny because this is my notebook from that day. And this is my notebook that I preach out of now. I got a lot more to say these days, I guess. I don't know. But that might not be a good thing, huh? But as I was thinking about this and I was going back and I was just reflecting and I was thinking, so 52 Sundays in a year in 15 years is 780 sermons, plus Sunday nights would be 1,560 sermons. If you take out some vacations, you take out some guest speakers, Wednesday nights, was blessed to have Tim. Tim, it's been 15 years since you've been doing Wednesday nights also. But I did do youth on and off. So basically around 1,500 to 1,600 sermons I've preached. If you'd have told me that 15 years ago, I'd have probably hit the door running and said, I have trouble enough with one sermon, 1,500 or 1,600 sermons. But I feel like I've been very blessed to be here. And I feel like I've been very blessed to see the ups and downs and the struggles that we've went through together. Most of you have been through the struggles with us. Some of you, I thank the Lord for that you're here now, and you haven't had to go through everything that some have had to go through. But we're so thankful that you're here and part of our family now. This sermon would go on, and I would talk about in James 4 about do not slander. I would talk about in Colossians 4 about making the most of opportunity, and our conversations always be seasoned with salt. I was really trying to get the church focused on to be careful with what you're saying, to make sure that what you're saying is uplifting, and I didn't want to come in and badmouth who had left, whether it was the pastor or others that left along with him. I didn't want that to happen. I love those people, and I still love those people very much. But it's hard when the wounds are fresh to get past that sometimes. But with the Word of God, it's possible. I would go on and talk about in 1 Peter and craving pure spiritual milk. And then I ended the sermon with Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. And this was the part that when I remembered preaching the first sermon here, I remembered this verse. I didn't remember everything else, but I remembered this verse. And Proverbs 3:13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And sometimes in life we got to forget. Some of the most gracious, loving things that we can do is forget. When people's hurt us, when people's wronged us, you can't hold on to that. It's bitterness and it's resentment, and sometimes we just got to put it in the past and press on to what Jesus Christ has for us now. Now, I don't have all the church records. We've got them somewhere. I don't know how long all the pastors have been here and everything, but I was just telling Mitzi this morning, I said, I don't feel like I've been here as long as Randy even was, and Randy was the pastor when I first started coming, and I think he'd been here 12 or 13 years, and it felt like I sat under him way longer than I've been up here preaching. It just doesn't seem possible that that I've been preaching 15 years now. And but as I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about pressing on, and I was thinking about important principles that is for us today. I don't want to preach the same sermon. Yes, we still all need to be controlling our tongues, and I know I've preached that probably two or three times since the first time I've preached that, because I need a reminder of that sometimes with the words that I'm speaking and everything. But here's what I felt like the Lord was telling me for today and for us. And Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Well, actually, let's start in verse 6. It says, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. When y'all, that's what I was talking about a few Sunday nights ago about, that I want you sharing with me. I want you sharing with this body. I want us coming together and people telling me what the Lord's showing them, what the Lord is instructing them. And the word even says that we're supposed to be doing that, okay? But then let's go on to verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And here's what I just kept thinking about the sowing and reaping principle, the sowing and reaping principle. And I was thinking, Lord, about our church and our church family. And I said, Lord, what have we been sowing in? Because these principles stand, right? They stand for us today. What have you been sowing in? Have we been sowing in righteousness and goodness? Have we been sowing in being the body of believers that God's called us to be? And sowing into people's lives and discipleship and caring and love and helping them? And if we have been sowing in that, we will reap the harvest. But sometimes, have you ever felt like you've sowed and sowed and sowed and you've not seen anything come from it? And then you just want to give up? A diet is a perfect example. You struggle and you try not to eat certain foods, but you don't see any results. And it gets frustrating and you just want to give up. And it's the same sometimes, I believe, with spiritual things but the Lord's telling us here, God's not going to be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And so you think about with the church, and if the church isn't what you feel like it ought to be today, and you're just hanging on by a thread, let me ask you, what have you sown into the kingdom of God? Are you praying like you should? Are you studying the word like you should? When you see a need in the church, do you think of others that could do that? Or have you ever thought, that might be the Lord calling me to do that. Maybe that's nobody else's responsibility. Maybe that's my responsibility. Maybe I'm the one that needs to be doing that. I heard a preacher say this week, and I thought it was really good. He was talking about revival, and he said there was some great evangelist or minister or something. He quoted his name. I didn't recognize it, but I guess he was famous. And said that he had told people, what I want you to do is I want you to go home and grab a piece of chalk and go kneel beside your bed and take that chalk and draw a circle around yourself and then lay down that chalk and bow your head and begin to pray to God and say, God, may revival start inside this circle. He said, because revival needs to start with you. And it's not out there for somebody else. It's in your heart. It's in your life. And what are you sowing into the kingdom of God? Are you sowing righteousness? Are you sowing goodness? Are you in prayer for those around you in this building? Are you in prayer for me? Are you in prayer for our children's minister? Are you in prayer for our leadership that they would have instructions? Are you sowing into the kingdom? You know, many of us want things to change, but do we ever plant good seed for the change to come? I mean, really think about it. Are you planting good seed for the changes to come in what you think? Because if we do not grow weary and do not give up, there's going to time we're going to reap that harvest. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." So think, have I been sowing that? Because with the measure I use, it's going to be measured back to me. If you're hateful, if you're mean, that's going to be measured back to you. If you're kind and compassionate, that's going to be measured back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Many of us have been reaping wrong in our life, been reaping evil in our life, but we forget that's what we've sown in others. Travis and me were talking Friday night, and he was talking about some people in the body, when I say the body, that are Christians. And he said they're always angry. He said every time I talk to them about the Lord, it's like anger gets with them, and they're like, "Why don't you believe the way that I believe?" He said they're just so full of anger. I don't understand it. You think about it. What are you sowing in people's lives? What are you sowing in those around you? James 3:17, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." And when you just read those few lines there, do you think, am I considerate? Am I submissive? Am I full of mercy? Is there good fruit being bore out of me? Is that what you're sowing in people's lives around you? Is that what you're sowing in the kingdom of God? And verse 18 says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." We wonder why the world's going to hell. Why things are getting so crazy? Have we as believers been peacemakers? At one point, I almost got some social media about a year ago. It was when COVID and all that was going on. And I hate sometimes that everybody knows what's going on but me. And they know from their Facebooks or their Instagrams or whatever it is, I know I've probably told you all that story one time. I was at the hospital visiting Crystal's dad. This was several years ago, and a lady in the elevator from Mansfield said, "Oh, how's Mark doing?" And I said, "Well, this." "Oh, I knew that." And I said, "And this." "Oh, yeah, I saw that." And I said something else. She's like, "Well, I knew that," and it irritated me, and I wanted to say, "Well, why'd you even ask? Sounds like you know more than me." You know, well, she'd been seeing it all, the updates and everything on Facebook. So why are you asking me? You know more than me. But to come back to the point, what point was you making, Pete? Come back to the point with the social media and everything. I hear about fights, I hear about arguments, I hear about the mean stuff people say to each other. But we're to be peacemakers. You go back to the original verses that I read about the tongue and the spark and the fire that it sets. Are we ones that extinguish that spark? Or are we ones that add fuel to the fire by the words that we say? Are we ones that when someone's upset and angry and mad, we try to bring love and comfort and mercy to the situation? Or do we throw more gasoline on the fire? We wonder why there's not more righteousness. Well, what have we been sowing? Are we peacemakers? Is that what we've been sowing in? Or are we ones that like to add and get it stirred up? I know people, and I've known them for almost my whole life, some of them from school and everything, and they're not happy unless there's controversy. They're not happy unless there's something stirred up. You guys know people probably that way. You know what? I don't want to be around them. Not anymore. because they stir me up. And I don't want to be stirred up. And most of the time it's over nothing, but they're so angry, they're so mad all the time. But we are to be peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. I don't know about y'all, but I want a harvest of righteousness in my life and in this church life. That's what it's about. It's about making disciples. It's about living as children of God, sowing righteousness to those around us, and that people might see the light inside of us, that we're not like everybody else, that we're different. What have you been sowing in? In yourself? Around you? Job 4, 8 and 9 says, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God they are destroyed. At the blast of His anger they perish." Job, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." Is there always trouble? Is there always drama? Is there always feel like there's destruction in your life? Is there always things going on? What are you sowing? What are you sowing in the lives of those around you? Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it evil? I want to go back to Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea 10, verse 13. It says, "But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors." You have planted wickedness, so you have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. So, can I tell you something? Is that what you're planting in your life? And not only, I want to shift gears a little bit, because I keep talking about what we're planting, like in others. But what are you planting in yourself? You know, we can't watch television. We can't listen to media and think that there's not seed falling in our heart. There's stuff being planted in us all the time. I watch the news. I get angry. I get upset. I had to quit. We were laughing about it, talking about it yesterday. Amy and Kyle, we rode with them up to Springdale, and they're trying to shut off their satellite and everything, and having trouble trying to get it all shut off. And I was telling them how I shut ours off, I can't remember, a year or two ago. But it was right when the presidential election and all that was going on. And if you've ever tried to shut off satellite or cable or anything, it is, they send you to this person, and then they send you to that person, and then they send you to this person, and all of them's trying to give you a good deal to get you to not shut it off. And it was so funny because the last person that I talked to, I can't remember if it was New York or New Jersey that they were from, and they had that strong accent, nice as they could be and everything, and they'd got it down to where I could just get the locals in the news for like $10 a month. And I'm like, well, I do like watching the local weather and watching the local news and everything, and I was, you know, but I was determined to shut this off, and I was like, so I'm holding the phone away, and I'm talking to Crystal, and I said, "I don't know." I said, it's down to $10 a month and it'd just be like the news and stuff." And she's like, "You said the news make you angry. They're all a bunch of liberals anyway. Why do you want to watch it?" Well, the guy could hear what Crystal had said. And when I went back, he goes, "Yes, sir, we will cancel you right now." It was over with. It was done. They didn't try and beg me anymore to stay, you know. But what was I putting in my heart? What was I putting in my life? It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. Because the Republicans lie about the Democrats and the Democrats lie about the Republicans. There's so much evil. There's so much false. They take and they twist things and they say things that is not true. And what's happening? Is all that sowing into your heart and all that sowing into your mind? I've shared with y'all before, when I hear cussing a lot, And thank the Lord that God delivered me from that pretty quick. But can I tell you, I'm thankful in my workplace, most of the time, they stop it. If someone's cussing, the boss says, cut it out. Stop. So I don't have to hear it much. But sometimes I do, or like I like war movies. And sometimes if I watch a war movie, there's a lot of cussing. And it's like, man, I wish they wouldn't do that, but it's a war movie and all that. But when I'm hearing all that, then what happens? That seed planted in my heart. And then someone makes me mad, or I smash my finger or stub my toe. What comes to my mind? That seed that was planted. That cuss word. Because it's planted in there. You think it don't affect you? It does. You guys might say, oh, Pete, how can you say that? I'm just being honest. It gets planted in there. And so the things that we're planting in us, it will eventually produce fruit. So if it's evil, if it's bad, if it's of the world, that's what's going to be produced out of us. If it's righteousness, if it's goodness, if it's kindness, if it's the fruit of the Spirit that's being planted in us, then that's what's going to come out of us. It works. It works both ways. It's what are you planting in others and what are you planting in your life. But if you have planted wickedness, you're reaping evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. And I think about that and I think how many of us are dependent upon our own strength and what we allow in our life. And we say, oh, it's not going to affect me. I'm strong enough. I'm a strong enough Christian. It's not going to. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. What are you planting in your life? And then I want to jump back up to verse 12. And this is the verse that I like here. Hosea 10:12. It says, So for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. Sow for yourself righteousness and reap the fruit of unfailing love. How awesome is that? God's unfailing love. Sowing in righteousness and reaping God's unfailing love. That's principle right there, and that's principle that we need to be living by. And that's principle that we need to have in our hearts and in our minds. And so, for the next 15 years, if God gives us that long, how awesome would it be in 15 years from now, and we're at 30 years, you guys listen to me, another 1,600 sermons, and we say, you know, there was a changing point on that 15-year anniversary, and my mind began to be transformed. Y'all, I can't even explain what's been going on. And how God's been changing me in the last few Wednesday nights. It's just, I don't want to make anybody jealous. But what we've been experiencing in our men's meeting, and what I've been experiencing and what God's doing in my life, I pray that you guys are going to reap the harvest of what the Lord's transforming up here in me and my mind. And how awesome would it be is from this point on, you say, you know what? I've been planting a lot of junk in my life. A lot of roots, a lot of evil. I need to start planting that righteousness in my heart. That Word of God, that time in prayer, that the things that I know will produce something good. And I need to change what I'm allowing in my life. And you know what? Not only that is I need to change what I've been sowing in my coworkers' lives. I need to change what I've been sowing in my children's life and my grandchildren's life. I need to change what I've been sowing in my friend's life because I've been a gossip. I've been full of anger. I've been one of those people that like to complain. I need to begin to be transformed in what I'm planting in others' life so that I can see a better harvest coming. And with this church, what are you planting here now? You know, the first month or so I was here, preaching, that is. I'd been here 10 years or something before that. But I said, why should God keep Coupe Prairie open? I don't know if any of y'all remember that. A lot of y'all was here. I said, why should God keep Coupe Prairie open? And some of the folks didn't like that. They didn't. They was like, Pete, how could you say that? We were in debt up to our eyeballs. We barely had enough to keep the doors open. And I said, why would God keep Coupe Prairie open? What can we give to the community? What can we give to the kingdom of God? And I want everybody to really, really take an examination of why would God keep Coupe Prairie open. I wish I'd have thought. It'd have been a lot of work for Amanda, so Amanda's probably glad that I didn't think of this, but I wish I would have thought for her to go back through the records to see how much this church has given since that point. I don't think we're probably at 100,000 yet, but it's in the thousands that we've given away to people in need, people in the community. When we started 15 years ago, my goal was to make sure that we gave at least 10% to outreach, whether it's missions or people in the community. And I don't know, I don't want to make a false statement, but I don't know if there's been a year that we've not given 20%, 30% of what comes in to outreach. That's why God, I think, is keeping Coupe Prairie open, is to influence those around us, to show them love, to show them compassion, to help those that are sick, to help them. It don't matter if you come to this church or not. The family we helped last week, I didn't even know who they were. But it was a little girl's family in need, and we helped. And we gave. I was thinking about plateaus, though. And I was thinking about, we've had our ups and downs here. But we've also had some plateaus where things just kind of like, well, we're just going along. But I was thinking about in those plateaus, because when it's going down, you're coming up, woo! And there's a lot of times, though, of just holding steady. And I'm thankful for so many of you that have remained faithful, even in the steady. I'm thankful that you haven't left. I'm thankful that you put up with me in my growth, in my learning, trying to become a better pastor. And to let you know, I'm still trying to become a better pastor. I really am. And one of my big things, and I'm going to close pretty quick, but one of my big things is statistics. I've always liked statistics. Hayden took a prob in stats class at college, and apparently he likes statistics too, because his professor told him that he really should go in that, because it came easy to him and he really liked it too. He didn't choose that path, but one of the things that the professor had said is that you got to take statistics kind of for what they're worth, though, because you know they're taking a survey of 100 people or 1,000 people, so you kind of got to take it for what it's worth. But I wanted to look up statistics for pastors and everything for today, being my anniversary and all, and I got sad. And I didn't even write any down because it's too depressing. The effects on their children, their effects on the marriage, the effects of endurance and depression, how long they stay. I've been here almost four times the average pastor. I didn't even write it down because it just made me sad. And as I reflect, I've not been immune to some of those statistics. But thank God. Thank God. He's seen me through. And thank God He's kept y'all hanging in here with me. And so I want to encourage you to think about what you're planting, to think about what you're sowing. And this wasn't just an anniversary for me. It's an anniversary for the church for putting up with me. I was thinking, well, Kyle's been up here playing guitar longer than I've been preaching up here. You know, I did youth and children before I got up here. And Amanda's been doing the books longer than I've been preaching. And Mitzi, I was asking her, I'm like, and we were trying to remember when exactly she started singing, and Stephen D sang with her and all that. And she can't remember exactly when, and I can't remember exactly when. I wouldn't remember this if I wouldn't have had notes and remembered the dates. And many of you have been here a lot longer than me, and you've remained faithful through the ups and downs. And I thank you for that. But I just ask, as we go forward from this day on, that you really, really, really begin to think about what you're planting. And that we might see a harvest of righteousness growing up in this church. We have goals back there. And every goal, I think, but one we've seen accomplished. We still got one left. God still got work for this church, and He still got work for your life. How awesome would it be if we got the principle down of sowing and reaping from this moment forward? And the next time we flip on that television, we go, huh, what am I planting in my life? The next time we hear those coworkers talking, we think, huh, what seed's falling upon my heart right now? And the next time we speak, the next time we act, we think, huh, what am I sowing in those around me? God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. What have you been sowing? Because you're going to reap it. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for your many blessings and how you've blessed me and how you've blessed this church and what you're doing with this church. Father, my prayer is that we would continue faithfully in serving you, that we would continue faithfully in seeking you. Father, that we would continue to help those around us, that we would never become selfish. And Father, as you put the opportunities in front of us, may we always be willing to give, always be willing to help. And Lord, as we go throughout the next weeks, the next months, the next years of our lives, may we keep this principle deep inside of our hearts about sowing and reaping. And what are we sowing in those around us? What are we sowing in our own lives? And may we see a harvest of righteousness because we're seeking you, because we're seeking to do good, seeking to do your will. Father, in our ups and downs here, may we never get off course. May we always and continually seek to do your will, and may you guide and direct us, and may we know your voice and know it clearly. We pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing its word.
First started, there was chairs up here, and the preachers would sit up here and look at the congregation. I said, I ain't doing that. And you know why? Some of y'all may not know this. Why I sit on the front and I don't look back during worship? Because I don't want y'all influencing my worship with the Lord. The Lord says, raise your hands. I'm going to raise my hands. If the Lord says, just sit there quietly, sit there quietly. Pray, pray. I don't want to be influenced by anybody else. But one of the other things that I got in trouble by Ruthie when I first started preaching, it was Ruthie and I believe Nona Little, is at the end of the service, I wouldn't go back to shake hands. I was like, I felt like, oh, I don't want to. I just stayed up here. And it wasn't a month or two in. And Ruthie, why don't you come back and let us hug your neck and shake your hand at the end of the sermon? Okay. So I start going back and let y'all shake my hand or hug my neck or walk on by. It doesn't matter, you know. But I love you all. And until the Lord calls me home or calls me to something different, I'm going to be here. And I hope you guys will have that faithfulness, endurance to just seek the Lord. Do what He says. We've got people, talking about fruit, we've got people that's left this church that's bearing good fruit at other places, but it's for the kingdom. Sometimes it would bother me. God, we need them. Why aren't they here? But they're where God's planted them for this time. God's planted you here for this time. So let's make the most of where God's placed us. Love y'all. Have a great afternoon. Remember, next Sunday night, soups and chilies or whatever y'all want to make, we'll have a fellowship. And then Easter, the 17th, we'll be having a breakfast before the Easter egg hunt. And so if you got Easter candy, Easter eggs, please bring them. And so we can get them stuffed. Y'all have a blessed day.